well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's gonna
Hello, shoppers, and welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. My name is Johnny Wright. Hi. Thanks for coming into the store this morning, doing a little shopping, you do some browsing. Please do so at your own relaxation level. We won't, we're not here to put the stress and pressure on you. We just want you to relax and enjoy yourself while you peruse our tasty items, which will include this morning an interview with Adam Guru. He is the enrollment officer for the Army ROTC program at Iowa State University. Great guy. You're going to hear from him coming up. Also, Kurt Comer, trainer and QA specialist for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You wouldn't think a company that has the word junk in their title would be great at customer service. Well, they are, and you're going to hear why coming up from Kurt coming up a little bit later on. I'm also going to talk about a new member of the Biosphere family. I have a new client on board that I want to tell you, and you're going to recognize this name right away. And why companies that already have a pretty good handle on customer service are usually the ones that strive to do a little better. And you're going to find out why that is coming up. Very interesting story, if I do say so myself, and I do say so indeed. So you hear about that coming up. Your weather forecast, you get that right now, and that is sunshine today. As we roll into a beautiful Labor Day weekend, 72 should be the top side. We'll drop to 55 on the overnight tonight. And then a breezy Sunday with 83 for the high end, with gusts up to 25 miles an hour. Very, again, as I say, for men with toupees or with the comb over or with just weird hair like I have, it's kind of a hat day. If it's not a hairspray day, it's at least a hat day or even a hairpin day. Or how about a scarf? Listen, I'm trying to warn you ahead of time for a Sunday. Sunday night down to 64, then Monday, beautiful Labor Day. Sunny and 85 with winds again gusting up to 26 miles an hour. Tuesday, back to work, sunny and 79. Right now, we're at 52 degrees. And Secret Shopper Journey last week, or actually still part of this week, was Iowa State University. And this is my alma mater. It's one of five, unfortunately. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. Institutions of higher learning, there's quite a few of them. In fact, there are nearly 4,500 of them across the country. You've got your four-year, your two-year, your for-profit, not-for-profit. Department of Education says there's almost 4,500 of them. Very competitive category when it comes to retail. Is a college retail? Sure. What does retail mean? Well, retail means you shop for something, you buy something that's a commodity. You exchange things for stuff. And an education is what you get at the end of that. And so, and particularly in these economic times, kids in high school, parents, they're worried, is there going to be a job out there for young Betty, young Billy, and they want to help guarantee that. So sure, college is an alternative. College is also very expensive. Even the least expensive ones are a lot of bread. Of course, you have your online schools. Anything that begins with the word Phoenix is probably an online college. And there are over 250 of them that I could find. And there's probably a lot. There's probably some guy in his basement who's just setting up a website now as my head is roaring. And so that'll be like 256. But there's also then the School of Hard Knocks. And that's the biggest competitor of all in many ways. And at dinner tables across America, while there are some parents who encourage their kids to go into college, there are those also saying, you know, listen, honey, you know, we'd love to be able to send you, but maybe, you know, a career in the food services industry, you know, there's a potential there. You could work your way up. You could manage a McDonald's someday. Maybe stay that route. So you have ambivalence. We talk about ambivalence being the greatest competitor to any retail scenario, and that is the idea that as customers, we simply don't need what you have, or we can't afford it. We may want it, but we just can't afford it. It doesn't fit into our schedule, so ambivalence on some level. And so that's what colleges face. Although the Department of Labor says that 70% of the kids who graduated high school last year enrolled in college. That's an all-time high. That's got to be great news. Parents got to be loving that. And everybody says, wow, you know, get educated, go to college, get your degree, smarter people. Yeah, that's always a good thing, builds a better society, a smarter society. But college is very serious business, very competitive, multi-million-dollar business. What sets businesses apart in a competitive field? Well, if you listen to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, number one is customer service. We can talk about location all we want. We can talk about pricing. We can talk about marketing. We can talk about selection. We can talk about all those things that we talk about all the time that have to do with marketing a business. But in my world, in my estimation, there is no thing that can have the greatest impact on any retail scenario than customer service. And if you put pressure on your customer service model inside a business to get better, you will inevitably see results. You'll see happier customers telling more people about their great experience at your store. You'll have happier employees who will tell other people about this great place they work. They'll be more inclined to engage your customer base. And so it creates happy customers, happy employees, happy everybody. That elevates everything. Longevity, loyalty, revenue has a tremendous impact. And so that is indisputable, that part element. And we could dispute it, but why bother? Let's just roll on. Iowa State University was established in 1858. Today, Iowa State, as a land-grant college, and I don't think there were a lot of them back then, but they said, here's some land. I'd like to grant it to you. Now let's start building campuses. And, you know, how many hundreds of years later, we've got 27,000 students, 1,700 faculty members. There's over 160 buildings on the Iowa State campus. It's spread out over 500 acres on the central campus anyway. And so we would describe Iowa State as really like an ultimate big box store, emphasis on big. Yeah, it's ginormous. So how do you secret shop a big box store of that size? Well, you do so very carefully, of course. But the one thing I wanted to do was avoid the normal visitor's tour portal. In other words, you can call Iowa State, say, "I am a concerned parent. I'd like to have a tour of your campus." Oh, sure, we'd be happy to do it until they have, students all bright and shiny and crisp and clean. Meet you somewhere, and you do a walking tour, and along that route, other students you go into will probably pop your head into a class, and they all wave to you, like you just went to China, and how the classes are, everybody waves, be real friendly for the cameras, and I'm saying it's legitimate, but that's not the part that I want. That's not the story. I want the real behind-the-scenes story, the day-to-day, how do employees interact with me as me posing as a parent with a senior in high school contemplating coming to Iowa State. That's the scenario. I went into 13 buildings on campus. Into each building, I would head for or look for the main office or the area where Iowa State employees were working and sort of the place you would go if you're looking for information or wanted to engage a teacher or whatever. And what do we use as criteria? Well, the five pillars of great customer service. That's what I teach with the Biosphere. It's my training program. It's the foundation for everything that I do and that we talk about on this radio program. Starts out with a smile. Do employees smile at me? At the beginning and the end of our conversation, do they greet? Is there a salutation? Is that followed by an open-ended question? What's open-ended? A question that does not require a yes or no answer. What can I help you with? What can I help you find today? It's an engaging question in which there are no limits to the answer. Speaking of engagement, what is the level of engagement? Well, there's the professional, excuse me, and trying to break down what the person's needs are, what the problem is that needs to be solved. All retail is problem solving. And so there's that professional end of it, and there's the personal. Hey, what brought you onto the campus today? Hey, where are you from? Hey, how's little Billy doing in geometry or whatever in high school? That attempt to knock down the walls that exist between two people that have never met or meeting for the first time. There's the thank you, pillar number 4. Did the employee thank me at the end for visiting the campus? Makes sense. And then the follow-up, and this is the tricky one because there's really nothing in place that I can see at Iowa State or and a lot of businesses in which there is a process in place designed to gather a visitor's information, send it into a matrix, and allow someone to contact that person. And so, and I'm going to talk more about that towards the end of this, but anyway, that's one of the most important pillars. Somebody comes into your business who's never been into your business before. You should have some sort of process to gather their information so that you can talk with them, make a connection with them, market to them, something, some request for information. Now, they may tell you no, and that's okay, but if you never ask, how can you ever know? How can you ever hear yes or no? And so you got to play the game. Is all of that asking too much for Iowa State University or any college? Well, as we talked about, it's a competitive category. Drake, DMAC, University of Iowa, UNI, AIB, Ashford, and then across the state, Briar Cliff, Buena Vista. I'm reading these in alphabetical order, obviously. Capri, Central, Clark, Coe, Cornell, DMU, Des Moines University, Divine World College, Dort, Faith Baptist Bible College, Grandview, Grinnell, Hamilton. I can read through the list. There are over 50 colleges just in Iowa. Right, fairly competitive category, sure. You've got all the online stuff that we talked about from Phoenix University and so forth. And then you've also got all the colleges across the country who have online classes that you can take right from the comfort of your little computer. That's pretty competitive. Now, that includes Iowa State, of course. All colleges are wired into the internet. Of course, that age group, that demo, is the most wired in to viral marketing and so forth. The biggest competitor that Iowa State has may be employment. And you would say, well, yeah, that's not a big competitor right now, considering the rate of unemployment. But sure, knowing you can go right out of high school and go get a job, maybe, somewhere, maybe the biggest competitor of all. And, you know, you can wait 4 years to make your bread, or you can dive right in after high school and have some cash in your back pocket. So probably the biggest competitor right there. And I attended Iowa State from 84 to 87 after a pretty successful year, my freshman year at Coe College in Cedar Rapids. And that was about a three-year plummet at Iowa State into, you know, just to see how far you could take a grade point into the toilet. And I succeeded. Yeah, I was not a motivated student, really didn't go to class very much. But great campus, very friendly professors. As for the people who do attend Iowa State, what do they have to look forward to as far as the customer service with employees and also the students? So should the students be engaging people? Well, again, this cuts back to something that's fundamental. The fundamental idea of being kind to each other, to engaging strangers, to looking people in the eye and saying hi. None of this is rocket science. This is stuff that we were taught when we were children. Maybe your parents telling you, you know, hey, you know, you look people in the eye, you say hi to them, you greet them, be friendly to them, be courteous, open doors. All these simple little things that we were taught as children that we sort of sometimes forget as we get older. And it's not that we're mean people. We are. We're very kind people, very loving, decent people. But we simply forget about them during the normal course of a day, and particularly during our work day, which is a lot of left brain stuff. All the people that work at Iowa State have some left-brain tasks they have to do. It's what they're paid to do. Often what employees don't see themselves being paid to do is being ambassadors for the companies they work for, as waving the flag, being flag wavers and flag bearers, and being little billboards for that company, and being marketers for that company, being in sales for that company. Every employee at Iowa State University is in sales. Now, if you ask them privately, hey, are you in sales? You know, the guy who hauls away the garbage at Iowa State, and actually, I have a relative who does that at Iowa State. His name is Jerry. He may be listening this morning. Hey, Jerry, what up? All of them, top to bottom, from the president down to the guy who's hauling away the garbage, are all in sales. Their interaction with customers, the public, is part of that selling, part of the branding of Iowa State University. And so my journey at Iowa State was on a Tuesday. It was pouring. It was raining cats and dogs. And I parked at the parking at beautiful Memorial Union at Iowa State and entered the university bookstore, which is this huge. I mean, when I went to Iowa State, it was over on Lincoln Way, and it was a smaller building. And now it's this ginormously huge retail setting all in and of itself inside the beautiful Memorial Union. And got closed-ended questions right out of the gate from Andrew. And a couple other employees at the union. And there's feedback I've gotten from staff at Iowa State with this review. And you can read that coming up next week in what we call the Monday morning reaction segment, which will not be on Monday because it's a holiday, but it'll probably be on Tuesday. Although probably it will be on Tuesday. Closed-ended question, what does it do to retail? In other words, if I ask, if someone in retail says, can I help you to us? This is what happens to us as customers. They have reduced their chance of us spending money in their store by about half, statistically. Someone in retail greets you, can I help you? Your reaction, your emotional reaction, intellectual reaction is to say no, even if you need help. It takes you chemically to a place where you are less inclined to spend money. Why? Because you're not as happy. Why? Because someone is asking you a question that it seems obvious not to ask. You're standing in their store with a helpless look on your face, as we often do as shoppers. You're standing, you come up to a desk in which they're working at, and they say, "Can I help you?" Well, you know what? Probably you didn't have to ask me that. I'm standing in front of you right here. I've come up to you. Doesn't it seem obvious? Better question, more loving, nurturing question is, "What can I help you with?" That acknowledges that I know you're here and you need help, and I'm here to help you. So closed-ended questions, bad news. I did get a very nice open-ended question, the first one from Cindy at the Memorial Union main desk, which she also said through a slight grin, which was very nice. Then next moved on to Music Hall, where I'd actually spent quite a few, I think maybe I spent 2 days there when I was actually a student, just playing the piano and tinkering around. Nice building, really pretty in there. You hear lots of nice singing and playing and the music majors and so forth. Tammy was in the building's main office and greeted without a smile. And a closed-ended question, "Can I help you?" Again, standing in the office, Tammy, and Tammy has responded with an email, and she's apologized for, and she's going to work harder on that, and I know she will. Particularly when you're surrounded by beautiful music, we would expect people in that environment to be, right, yeah, happy. Yeah, I'm hearing beautiful stuff all day. I'm a happy person. Who wouldn't be? Walking through into Carver Hall, got a "Can I help you?" from Sandra at the Center for Excellence in the Arts and Humanities. Also with, oh, she did smile, actually beautiful smile at the very beginning, and was very engaging when I asked her questions. Went into the admissions building, and at the desk, Janet said hi with a kind of a smileless, joyless expression, almost something out of American Gothic. And Janet, you're in admissions, and gosh, you know, admit it, that's a place where I would think students come frequently, because it may be their first contact with the university in general. I mean, I don't know that. Maybe not their first contact, one of the early ones. But admission seems to be a place where you would really want to be uber-friendly and engaging. Again, I could be wrong about that. It just seems like a natural thing. Pearson Hall, the Graduate College office. Linda greeted me with a beautiful smile and a nice, friendly hi. We talked about the possibility of my son enrolling in the graduate school. Yes, a chip off the old Johnny's shoulder or blockhead or whatever it is. Sure. And then one of the great moments of the whole trip was I was walking through the hallway and this big strapping young man, obviously a student, walks by me and says hi and smiles at me and looks me right in the eye and didn't have to do it for no reason at all, did it. His name turned out to be Bo. He's a history major. He's from Parkersburg and he wants to teach someday and he did a tremendous job. He was one of the real superstars of the entire day. The second superstar that I met was at Beercher Hall in the form of Sherry. She did a tremendous job, really, really nice, engaging me, and didn't have to. She was kind of like Bo. She just walked up to me, and all of a sudden, she just said hi. And, you know, that seems like such an insignificant thing, but it really is an important thing. It's a big deal when people just out of nowhere just engage us. And so that meant a lot to me. And I know Sherry knows some people that I know and has written, and I hope she got a little blowback by that. But I won't go through the rest of the review. You can read it at theunsecretshopper.com. If you'd like to read the rest of the review from Iowa State University, a lot of students, a lot of alumni going in, checking it out, want to see how, if they're in there, want to see if their name came up. I don't know, go in there and find out. We got all the way to the Jacobson Building and met some people there and see how they did. Coming up, you're going to meet one of the stars of the tour through Iowa State University, Adam Garou, the enrollment officer for the Army ROTC program at Iowa State University. I'll have a conversation with him coming up next. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. Good morning.
How much is that monkey?
There's some monkey shopping this morning. Of course, just a stuffed monkey is all you can do. Hope you're getting great customer service. And the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show continues on this fine Saturday morning. It's 8. I don't even know where I found this thing. 8:21 now, coming up on the radio program, a conversation with Kurt Comer, trainer and QA specialist for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Also, a brand new client, a member of the Biosphere Fold that I met with and got everything finalized. I want to tell you more about this particular company and one that you will recognize, and it gives weight to the credence that companies that already sort of have things figured out from a customer service standpoint are always ready to improve what they do. And this is a great example. And I think you'll be surprised that a company that does it this well actually hired little old me to help them improve. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. But first, we talked about my trip through Iowa State University, secret shopping it on and posting those results on Thursday. Oh, by the way, I did predict that Iowa State would win the game against Northern Illinois 34-10. Which is right there at the end of the blog that has not been altered. So not bad for old Johnny. What was the final score, 27-10? Or is it 24? Well, anyway, I was at most of the game. I should have remembered that. But anyway, so not a bad. I mean, I'm not a betting guy, but I did pretty well with that. One guy that you definitely would want to bet on is Adam Guru. He is the enrollment officer for the Army ROTC program at Iowa State University. And he did a great job with customer service as well as everything else when I met him last week. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Adam, how did you get involved in the military? Where did you come from, a military family, or how did you happen to get into it?
No, actually, I went to a military school in Vermont, and strange enough as it is, I had no intentions on joining the military. However, after a couple of years in the program, a few of my friends were in the Army ROTC program, and it was just kind of a natural thing for me to, you know, be with them, and I joined up.
Well, Adam, I got to stop you right there, because that's kind of like a French fry, you know, jumping into the boiling grease but having no intention of being eaten. I mean, you're talking about going into military school, but you had no intention of going into the military.
Yep. You know, it's just a very good school and a well-known school in New England. You know, graduating from that school can sometimes open some doors for you.
I got you. So you see, you're smart before you go into school, Adam. You know, it's about rubbing elbows. It's who you know, not what you know, right?
That's right. Sometimes that's what it is.
Very nice. So you go through, you dig what's happening, and then you make a decision that military is going to kind of be your life because you like it.
Yep.
And what was it about it, Adam? Is there any? I know there's probably a lot of things, but now, what really was the one thing, if there was one, that was sort of the deciding factor for you to go in?
You know, really the camaraderie, the friendships that you built have really lasted a lifetime. And I know some of my friends that I met, you know, 14 years ago when I first started school, we can still talk, and it's just like we had just stopped talking yesterday.
Yeah, there's that wonderful connection, isn't there? And you create those memories that last a lifetime, and you know people, and probably know people all over the world, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, I know people out in Hawaii and California and, of course, overseas, and New York and Georgia and just about everywhere.
All right, Adam, so you went to Virginia, this beautiful state, and you know people in Hawaii, and so, I don't know, at least I'm asking, I'm from Iowa originally, what in the world got you to Iowa?
Iowa's actually where my wife is from. So when I got off of active duty, I came out to Iowa and joined the Iowa National Guard.
So where the wife goes, the husband goes, and that's just kind of how it is.
Yep, that's kind of how it is sometimes.
How long have you been in Iowa, Adam?
About 5 years.
Well, I'm trying to think. Yeah, you've gotten the worst of summers and winters in those 5 years. I tell you what, you picked kind of a bad 5 years weather-wise, didn't you?
Yeah, it is. It has been kind of a rough 5 years, that's for sure.
My guest this morning is Adam Guru. He is the enrollment officer, for the Army ROTC program at Iowa State University. And Adam, when did you get on? And let me back up a minute. Enrollment, dealing with people, that goes back to that camaraderie thing on the front lines, shaking hands, engaging, sort of selling the Army. Was that a specific choice you made, or did that sort of evolve for you?
No, it definitely was an evolved process. I was asked to come up here in May of last year, and being a recruiter-type position wasn't something I was too thrilled about, but, you know, I jumped right into it feet first, and it's been great. I've learned a lot, and I've got to do quite a few things that, you know, not everyone gets to do. Work with a bunch of excellent people up here, and, you know, just get to meet some outstanding young Americans that are interested in the military.
Well, Adam, I would guess it depends on what state of peace or war or whatever our nation is in sometimes, but I would think that sometimes it can be a tough sell. I mean, selling, no matter what you're selling, can be quite a challenge. So what was the training? Talk about the, you know, an engagement level. You obviously have to reach out to young men. You have to, I'm sure, show a level of empathy. You've been in their shoes. You know what it's about. Talk about the Army's training program from that aspect.
I guess as far as all the training I received for my job, it was just a couple of weeks with the guy I took over from. You know, he went over everything and anything that had to deal with the job. But obviously that couldn't cover everything. So I did a lot of research on my own. And sometimes it was just trial and error. You know, some things work for particular people, but not for others. So you really got to tailor what you do for each individual person, I think, sometimes.
I would think that being able to listen, then, that plugs back into empathy. And what we talk a lot about here on the Unsecret Shopper and my training program, the Biosphere, that the number one quality the great salespeople have is empathy, being able to walk in someone else's shoes. Did you have that at a young age? Have you always had it?
I don't know, I guess. I guess it's probably, not something I've had at a young age, but I've just learned over time that being able to relate to people like that is something that they appreciate and understand, and spelling it out in words that they'll understand and talking their sort of language, I guess, has really helped me get through some of the, I guess, tougher sells, or just get through some of the initial few months of this job.
Well, Adam, then I want to ask you about the training, and you talked about you sort of took over from the guy, shadowed him a couple weeks, and then you went for it. And so there's no specific, in other words, in my engagement program with the Biosphere and the training, there's steps that people follow. You smile, you greet, you engage, you thank, you follow up. There's a left brain process. Is there that left brain process for you as well, or is it just right brain, hey, just do what you do naturally?
I think a lot of it was do what you do naturally, but not all of it was always easy to come. You know, I've definitely taken some constructive criticism from different people and improved my process and improved what I do interacting with people as I go along. And I've got a couple of guys that work with me as well, you know, and every time, you know, they interact with someone, we do just a little, like a review afterwards. How did that go? What can we do better? What do I do different that you do different? Always just trying to improve. So I guess I've just kind of worked on it.
And Adam, maybe this sounds ridiculous, but that's what I do here. I ask the ridiculous. Does the Army have secret shoppers for their enrollment program?
I don't think they do, but, you know, it probably wouldn't be a good or wouldn't be a bad idea to do. Everyone has good days and bad days, but really that's what my job is taking care of each and every individual person that comes in the door, making sure that they leave satisfied. And if they don't, then I'm not doing my job. You know, regardless of if I'm having a good day or a bad day, I've still got to perform to the level of expectation that others expect of me and providing that information, that good service.
And you get feedback from your fellow recruiters. Do you get feedback from potential candidates, particularly those that maybe decided not to do it, or even those that did? Do they get sort of a sheet, hey, how did I do, follow the, you know, fill this out kind of thing?
Yeah, I sort of do that. And I guess it's not more of a direct question like that, but I try to compare our program and how we do things here to other universities, because lots of times students have visited other schools. And I'm curious and see how they do it. Do they do something that maybe I want to adapt, or really did they really like what we did here and kind of blew that other school out of the water?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm no genius, but I'm thinking, you know, that would make sense. Like, you know, and it's tough sometimes, I'm sure, for a potential candidate to sort of keep track of them after they head their way. And if you never hear from them again, which I suspect happens, but getting feedback from them about, hey, how did I do? What was it about? Is there something I did that sort of turned you off about the program? Or, I mean, I don't know that feat. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not necessarily saying you should hire the Biosphere, but, you know, listen, if you've got a name, Adam, you know, I may follow up with this.
Okay. And, you know, a lot of times that may not be applicable because, yes, they are looking at the ROTC, but more specifically, they really got to look at the school they want to go to.
Sure.
And if Iowa State doesn't really have that particular thing that they may be looking for, you know, we could have the best program in the world and offer them the world. But if they don't have what if Iowa State doesn't have what they want, then they just won't end up here.
Absolutely. And then there's not a lot you can do about that. You are where you are.
That's right.
My guest this morning is Adam Giroux. He is the enrollment officer for the Army ROTC program at Iowa State University. Well, Adam, you know, I was duly impressed with how you engaged me, and I hope that came through in the blog. I know you've read it. I hope you've gotten some feedback that's been good on it. And I was just uber impressed with, and again, I know a lot of it is your job. It's part of your training, but part of it is you're just a nice guy. And as we talk about often on this show, you can't teach someone to be happy. You can't teach them to be nice and pleasant. Like you've said before, you kind of just have to be that way. And there isn't any question in my mind, you just kind of are.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes it is a conscious decision I have to make to be engaging and outgoing, but other times it really just comes naturally. And, you know, and I'm very happy with what I'm doing up here. And I think that makes a world of difference that I really enjoy what I'm doing and interacting with students and educating people on all that we can offer.
Well, Adam, let's assume that I am not a 45-year-old fat man, but then I'm actually a 17-year-old high school senior this year. And I've called your office. And I'm saying, hey, you know, I don't know what I want to do with my life, Adam. I want to get out of the house. My parents are driving me crazy. The old man is nag, 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 nag. I don't know if college is right for me. My grades are okay. All I know is I want a challenge. I want something different. And I'm thinking maybe ROTC program. Go ahead and pimp me. You know, tell me, give me the talking points.
I guess what I talk to a student like that about is you know, to really kind of dig into maybe and help them find out what they want to do. You know, ROTC is definitely a great avenue and an option for them to take a look at and explore it to see if they like it. And if they don't like it, you know, they can walk away. You know, and I guess I'd try to get that student to come on in because talking on the phone is okay to do, but really I prefer to do it face-to-face. It's just more engaging, and I can really get a better feel for the person that way. But, you know, regardless if the student does ROTC or not, I would try to help them out in any way that I can, leading them down the right direction, whether it be helping them find an academic advisor that can really talk to them more specifically about a particular field up here or even another service that's in the building here.
What's the number one reason kids don't sign up with the ROTC program?
It's hard. It is definitely not an easy thing to do. You know, we're up 4 days a week at 6 a.m, running around,
yikes,
doing push-ups and sit-ups.
Wow.
It's tough. That's probably one of the biggest reasons why people don't stick with it. And, you know, really, then that's okay. The Army and leading soldiers isn't for everyone, and you know, we want the best, and I expect the best of our leaders taking care of our soldiers out there.
Well, Adam, I know that parents are listening this morning and thinking about their particular young daughter or son contemplating maybe or kind of lost or maybe don't know what they want to do. And I'm sure they feel that it warms their heart to know that there is someone on the front lines serving, of course, in the military and also doing a wonderful job of maybe recruiting their particular loved one into a fantastic program. I know it's highly regarded, and you are one of the reasons why, Adam. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Adam Giroux. And I think I mispronounced Adam. Apologize for botching your name earlier. The enrollment officer for the Army ROTC program at Iowa State University, doing a fantastic job on the front lines at Iowa State. You know, and you know, they're in what I love, a building, which is the Armory, which used to be a tennis courts and all kinds of cool stuff, and now they've turned it into cubicles and all the history in that building. Just seems like a really appropriate building to have the Army ROTC program right there. And hopefully it's a kind of an old building, probably. I know I found there was like a dead bird up in the rafters that I found. But other than that, you clean it up, you move on. We are moving on here at 8:35. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, Kurt Comer, another great customer service story. He's the trainer and QA specialist for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Which you probably heard about. But coming up next, a new client in the Biosphere fold. This is a business that you are going to recognize immediately, a one that does it well already, but wants to do it even better. I'll tell you more about that company coming up next. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT.
Hey, Mr. Businessman, you're always on the go. You made your fortune, yet you're working hotter than ever.
You can relax it a little bit this Labor Day weekend. Some businesses, of course, will be closed, but for the rest of you hardworking people out there, owners, managers, employees, and the whatnot, we so appreciate the fact that you will be out there working while many of us are vacationing and relaxing, taking it easy, and hopefully driving very, very safe on roadways. Boy, it's just been a slew of accidents in the past 4 weeks and around the in Iowa, so especially in central Iowa, so be careful on those roads. As the Unsecret Shopper radio show continues this fine Saturday morning, it is 8:38. What's your weather forecast for the Labor Day holiday weekend? Looks great. Sunshine and 72 tonight, down to 55. A little bit more windy Sunday and a little warmer as the southerly breezes blow in that warm air, in 83. Monday, 85 on Labor Day. A beautiful one. Again, continuing to be windy. And then Tuesday, back to work, 79. Right now we're at a chilly 53 degrees. Well, something that warmed my heart was a conversation I had about 4 weeks ago with two gentlemen who are very, very savvy business people and have built a small empire. First of all, how do business owners teach their employees customer service? Let me backtrack just a minute. How does that happen? Does it happen automatically? Do businesses have processes in place? How about the place where you work? Is there a customer service training program? Or what is typically done is that it will be mentioned in the company manual. Remember that manual you were supposed to read when you started at wherever you were? Yeah, that one. And you probably signed off at about 20 pages that you had read it, and you initialed another 20 more. And then, yeah, did you really read it? And most of us probably just sort of skimmed through a lot of it. But okay, I'm speaking for myself. Maybe you, hey, listen, you may have it at home. You may read it every day. I don't know. That's all good. There's typically in a manual for any company something about that says something like the following. It says, always remember to be courteous to customers. Treat them as you'd like to be treated. And then the next five pages are where the emergency exits are located. So, you know, that's about the extent of the mention of customer service. That's pretty much the training. You may get a manager at the beginning who'll say, you know, be nice or engage or look them in the eye. But I think back over all the jobs I've had, and there have been a few outside of the realm of radio, which has been the past 25 years, but before that, and I don't remember one time anyone telling me to be nice. It's just sort of assumed, isn't it? Most of the time. It's assumed that we're going to be kind and sweet and engaging and personable and courteous and all of that stuff. That's a safe assumption because, generally speaking, most of us are. Most of the time. The problem or the challenge comes from when those assumptions are made from the top down all the way through, that everyone is following the mandate. And as we talked about on this program, many companies, big box stores, multiple chains, start out with a premise where some schmuck or schmuckette had this cool idea and went and sold it door to door, went and knocked on doors and had pots and pans or stuff in a backpack and went in and had to be kind and courteous and thoughtful because that's the only way you're getting in anybody's living room if you're selling vacuums. Sure, you have to be that thing. And so the company grew out of whatever the impetus that idea was, and the assumption is that every employee that was added after that was going to be just like the owner. Yeah, kind, smart, thrifty, obedient, all that stuff, friendly, sure. But of course, that's not how it works. Owners want clones of themselves and anticipate they're hiring clones, but what they're getting oftentimes is faded copies of who they are and what they're about. No one can own it like they do. No one can have the passion about their company like an owner does. Makes sense. They started the thing. But the problem comes with the assumptions that the layers of employees that are added into a company are all going to buy into the same mandate as the owner did and those initial managers, and that's just not the case. Now, some companies do bring in secret shopping, mystery shopping companies from outside their own four walls. And those mystery shoppers typically go in once a year, twice a year, maybe even monthly they go in. Maybe it's a regional manager who actually has the duty of walking through each of the locations or the particular location and just seeing how the employees do. Are they smiling, greeting, and then some score is given. That's handed to the local manager, and that local manager is expected to clean up the problems without necessarily having a process to do so. There may also be ongoing secret shoppers, again, hired from an outside company. Those secret shoppers or mystery shoppers assign numbers to certain things. Did the person do this? Did they smile? Did they do this? Was the bathroom clean? Those are given numerical values. Each store is given an overall value, and if it's below a certain threshold, they're say, encouraged to improve things here, there, and everywhere else. Some companies use Real Secret Shoppers chronically, all the time. Quick Trip, Come and Go, certain car dealers, the big company, the big GM or the Ford or the Chrysler or whatever will send in secret shoppers to make sure that they're living up to the mandate that the company has laid down. Very few companies incorporate a weekly structured combination of secret shopping and customer service training like we offer with the Biosphere, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E. It's not that I'm trying to pimp the Biosphere. Well, yeah, I am, because the whole hour is about that, and so is the blog, let's be honest. But it's also the truth. So I can pimp you and tell you about it, but also tell you the truth. Most companies don't have what we do with the Biosphere. And that is a synergy between secret shopping, the results of those secret shopping visits, and customer service training. We take the data, it is immediately connected to the training, of which I do the bulk. And so I'd like to introduce you to one of the companies, the newest company, a member of the Biosphere family, who had it down and done pretty darn well and has decided they want to do it better, and that is Dahl's Foods. Are you surprised by that? Yeah, probably are. That's a company that's been your hometown grocer since 1931. 12 locations throughout the Des Moines area. It's a company you may have gotten pretty good customer service from in the past, so it may be a bit of a shock. Wow, they're hiring you? Maybe that may be the biggest surprise of all. Sure, I understand that. I'll sit down while your vapors go away. I sat down with Ross Nixon, the COO, and David Sinwell, the CEO of Dahl's, about a month ago. We started talking about the great legacy of Dahl's. We started talking about all the smaller, softer, more user-friendly store designs, a more neighborhood feeling that Dahl strives for, even though the newer stores are larger than, of course, the initial ones, and particularly the one on Ingersoll, the smallest one, the first one. Or, I'm sorry, the one on Beaverdale. My apologies. The one on Beaverdale was the first. As good as Dahl's does it, Ross and David thought there was room for improvement. They especially thought this because I had secret shopped all of their stores, and particularly the one on EP True Parkway, which I posted, which you can see at theunsecretshopper.com. And there were obviously some challenges there. There were some great stories and some things that needed to be worked on. And from those conversations, we are now all working together, myself, my staff, my secret shoppers, and 6 of the 12 Dahl stores I've just this week just went down the road, just met the store directors this week, and that is being implemented starting next week. And so I would challenge you to keep an eye on Dahl stores and see if it gets better. And it's pretty darn good to begin with, so there'll be a real challenge to move the needles, but I think we can. We got some fun things planned, some changes, and some lots of good times at the Dahl stores. Looking forward to it. Always shopped there as a kid and my mom, and looking forward to helping those folks out and being a part of that Dahl's family. 8:46 now. Coming up, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Kurt Comer, he's the trainer and QA specialist for that particular company. Great customer service there. You'll find out how they do it, why they do it, and how a company has grown so big, so fast. All of that next. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. Lots of smiles across Central Iowa and all over the United States of America. Beautiful Labor Day weekend. I hope you enjoy it and be safe while you're on the roadways. This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. Place where you'll hear a lot of smiles if you call through is 1-800-GOT-JUNK. When you call that number, you want to haul junk away. Sure, you got milk, you grab milk. You got junk, you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And one of the people that guarantees those smiles when you call through is Kurt Comer. He's a trainer and QA specialist for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning there, Johnny. How are you?
Well, I'm good. How is the weather up in British Columbia this morning?
It is fantastic. It's a beautiful day out. It's pretty sunny, and it's going to be a nice weekend, I guess.
Kurt, now, were you born and raised up in B.C.?
I was not. I was actually moved here from Toronto area about 6 years ago, just southern Ontario, small town.
So how did you get to be the trainer and the QA specialist for 1-800? And actually, what I really need to ask initially, and a lot of people do not know this story, the story of 1-800-GOT-JUNK was just a couple of 18-year-old kids, right?
Yeah, it actually was. Founder and CEO Brian Scudamore, my boss, he was basically trying to pay his way to go through college, and he was sitting in a McDonald's drive-thru, and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to pay for school? How am I going to pay for school? And what happened was this old crappy old junk truck pulled up just kind of like a pickup, right, with like just plywood on the side all beaten up, and the guy got out all dirty and
right.
and stuff, and it just said, like, you know, Bill's Hauling or something like that on the side, and he thought, well, you know, I can do this, and I can do this better, and here we are.
And sitting in front of a McDonald's, I'm sure anybody would think, all right, what are my alternatives for a career? I can go in there and flip burgers, or I can buy a truck and start a company, right? It's an easy choice.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny, too, because when he was in school, he just thought, he figured it would be just a way to pay for school. Next thing you know, his cell's going off and stuff while he was in classes like crazy, and then he eventually had to drop out of school because the junk business was flying so well for him. So,
unbelievable. So
yeah, for sure.
So how big is 1-800-GOT-JUNK yearly revenues? What can you tell us?
Well, it varies year over year. Right now we're trying to on pace for about 90 million. That's pretty much where we're going for this year.
Wow.
That's
dollars, not Canadian currency we're talking about here.
That is Canadian currency.
Oh, very good. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And you, now, what do you guys you're using? What are you using up there now?
What's that? Sorry.
What are you guys using up there now?
For dollars?
Yes.
Or good old-fashioned Canadian bucks, the ones that you guys think are Monopoly money, right? All them colored stuff,
that's
for sure.
That's right. Well, that's an amazing success story. And how long, when did he start the company?
He started the company in 1989.
Wow, what an amazing success story. And obviously, you're part of that, Kurt. And talk about how you got involved and a little bit of your backstory. Were you a trainer before that?
Actually, what I was, I worked when I was about 20 years old. I was I worked at a call center in Toronto, and I was, you know, young guy. I did very well in sales when I was just doing telemarketing. So they promoted. I was assistant manager for them for a short period of time, and it was actually an American company, and they decided to keep business in the U.S. and they closed our call center down. So I had a little taste of management experience way back then. And then I just kind of had a hiatus and did some jobs here and there, and then I play drums, and actually that's kind of what drove me out to BC. I came out here with my band just for a new set of pace and stuff to kind of try and make it in the rock and roll industry, and I ended up making it in the junk removal industry instead. So it worked out perfect.
Well, and so do you get a chance to still play?
Yeah, I do, actually. I just tried out for a Led Zeppelin cover band, actually.
No way!
And they want me, so it looks like that's going to be good to go. So I haven't played in like a year or two, so I'm just going to get back off my feet playing drums again now, so it's pretty exciting.
So what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, but there's a chance that if this takes off, you may be with the boys in the band.
I don't know about that. I think I've seen that money isn't, unless you're huge, money isn't, right. You know, it's not a full-time career, right? And, you know, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they treat me very well here, and I love it here, and so I don't foresee that happening. This is kind of just like a weekend gig thing that I'm looking forward to and just keeping myself playing, right? So
my guest this morning is Kurt Comer. He's a trainer and QA specialist for 1-800-GOT-JUNK, a huge success story up in BC. And all right, so how did you... Well, first of all, let's talk about the qualities it takes to be a good trainer. What are those things that you identified in yourself and other people, and what does it take to do that?
Well, determination's one, that's for sure. The other thing is, I think in order to train someone, especially here it's all inbound sales, so in order to train someone how to sell, you got to be able to sell yourself, right? So,
right.
Well, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, one thing that's really good about us is that we do a lot of promotions from within. We're a very unique company and a unique brand, right? So if the opportunity is for someone that's already in-house, it's going to be given there before going outside, right? So I came in as a sales agent, and I quickly became the top agent in the company. So I did very well and so forth. And then, I came to a point where I was like, well, I need to, you know, move forward with the company. So I got off the phones and I started, you know, opening my book and showing people how I was doing it. And it's all positive. You know, it's just basically like one thing that I think is good is like always looking out for the customer. And that's what we really do. We're really, really customer centric here. And, you know, bottom line is if whatever you do at the end of the call that you have or the end of, you know, talking to a client is making the customer happy, you know, that's a success, right? So
right.
That's what we really try to train our folks on is really, really blowing people away with customer service and going above and beyond. And we do that very well. So
Well, and Kurt, you really bring up a point that When I do customer service training, I will bring up the S word, selling.
Yep.
And typically people in retail, most of them that I deal with, hate the idea of being in sales. They see it as laborious. They see it as pimping, like it's some filthy thing. But what you've described is that by being great at customer service, that's exactly what makes you so good in sales, that there's a synergy to those two things.
Yeah.
And is there a training? In other words, when your employees come on board or you do the training part of it, is there a system? Does 1-800-GOT-JUNK have a system, and can you tell us a little bit about it?
We do have a system, like a training system, you mean?
Yeah, you're the trainer. You got a system, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What we do is we basically we get them into here, and we set them in the training room with our group, and we basically give them the whole rundown on the company. We do big history. We go in depth on the story I just told you about Brian and the truck, and give the rundown on how we got to where we are today, and how many franchises we have, and so forth. And then we basically go over our sales process and how important it is to, find out what the customer's needs are and why they're really calling us, and use those needs that the customer's calling us for to hit home and get them booked on the schedule and hopefully get rid of their junk for them. So, and we do ongoing training. There's always refresher training, and it's kind of like high level even. Like we don't just train them once and put them on the phones and that's it, right? We go more in-depth objection handling classes and buying signal classes, all different types of classes that we've got here. And it's actually, I'm one of two. There's another trainer. His name's Roland Enriquez, and him and I are a force to be reckoned with, I guess. So we just kind of, both of us, we've been here a long time. I've been here 5 years. Rolo's actually been here even longer, like 7 years, I think. So, you know, we've just been around. We know what's going on. We know what people's needs are when they call us. And we just, like I said, bottom line is if our agents think that if they're looking out for the customer's best interest, they'll usually get a sale out of it, which is good.
Well, one of the things what has led me to have this conversation with you and to seek you out is because I came in with an actual hauling away junk issue, and I called the company and I eventually canceled that appointment. But what I was impressed with is every step of the way, from the scheduling to the cancellation to the follow-up and all of it, everybody was incredibly polite. They used my name during the conversations. They thanked me at the end. All of the pillars of great customer service that I teach, and it clearly someone is teaching. I mean, part of it is you hire happy people. I assume you're looking for happy people, period.
Yep.
And then the other part of it is you have this process that they can follow. So you combine those two, and it's strong. And it's no wonder this company has exploded. I mean, obviously, hauling away our crap is a big deal, and that's a need we have. But I'm sure the company wouldn't be nearly as successful, my suspicion, if you had people on the other line that weren't doing a really nice job of engaging customers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, even when we interview, and I do a big part of the interview process as well, one thing with that is that it doesn't matter how much sales experience you have. You know what I mean? Like if someone comes in and they're just a hard-nosed salesperson, that's not really the type of people we're looking for here. We're looking more for people that have a good, that have the drive for sales, but even more importantly, have the passion for our company, right? So we got to see that sparkle in their eye and that want to be here. If they don't have that want to be here, I'll be honest, we don't want them here. We want people that want to be here. We want people that want to build this brand and make it blow up. Because, we are as big as we are, but we want to get bigger, bigger, bigger. Sure, we're always looking out for to the be-all, end-all, right?
So, right. And how many employees do you train?
I train everyone that comes in here that answers the phone. I train. So it's we have our...
How big a staff? How many people you got?
Well, we have about... Let me think here. About 50 in our call center.
Right.
We have another call center, too, that we outsource as well in Prince Edward Island on the very east coast of Canada. So that's for, disaster recovery. So we have a smaller scale call center that takes calls out there for us as well.
Very successful company, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I'd like to thank Kurt Comer for sharing some time with us this morning. Boy, $90 million just hauling around junk. Isn't that amazing? What a success from 1989 to this point. And a couple of college kids just wanting to help make their way through college. I mean, that's how it is, And isn't that going back to college? Maybe the lesson you learn in college isn't just about going to class, which, of course, that's an important lesson. But you also learn, the entrepreneurial spirit. How many Bill Gates and Microsoft, all those guys, sort of started out sort of with that idea in college and sort of went off on their own and just came up with this amazing idea, which they did there at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So maybe your son or daughter is going to be an entrepreneurial spirit and be able to take care of you in your old age. That's all I'm looking out for you. That's all I'm trying to do. I want to thank the folks at Iowa State University for all of their feedback. I also want to thank the stars of the Secret Shopper trip through Iowa State University. Boy, so many good ones. Cindy and Sandra and Linda and Sherry and Bo and Adam and Nicole. Follow those five pillars of great customer service. And they probably didn't even know they were doing that. I imagine I said, hey, do you know you're following the five pillars? And they say, five pillars? What does that mean? Get out of here, you freak. But they smiled, they greeted, they engaged, they thanked. Simple things that seem insignificant but are so critically important to our overall joy as shoppers, as employees, as owners. And to all of you, have a fine Labor Day weekend. Be safe. I'll see you here on Tuesday at theunsecretshopper.com.